Finally, good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, October 25th. I'm Alan Chartok. They're just 2 weeks before Election Day. Whoa! Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are holding last-minute rallies in battleground states. Democrat Zephyr Teachout and Republican John Faso are making final pitches to voters in the New York's 19th Congressional District. Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is embattled by a corruption scandal connected to upstate economic development projects. The Democrat has also resurfaced in New Jersey's Bridgegate scandal. Now it's your turn. What would you do? I mean this. What would you do if you were in the shoes of those politicians? Get it? You're sitting there, you're Andrew Cuomo, you're Hillary Clinton. What would you do? 1-800-348-2551. Hello and welcome back to Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in show. I'm Alan Chartok, here with Murray the Dog. Donald Trump insists that he is winning, even as his path to the presidency narrows. While campaigning this week in Florida, Trump hammered what he called the, quote, disgusting media for its, quote, phony polls that he claimed were the latest signs of a, quote, rigged election. Trump told voters, "The media isn't just against me, they're against all of you." Trump has also spent the day going after the Affordable Care Act and the hike in premiums announced yesterday. Hillary Clinton's big donors aren't letting up on the gas, even as some recent polls show her pulling away from Trump. Priorities USA, the main pro-Clinton super political action committee, says it raised $18 million in the first few weeks of October. That's about $1 million a day. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. So the way I want to do it today, for whatever it's worth, is I want to play a little game with you. I want you to put yourself into the positions of all of these people, or just one of them for now. What would you do if you were John Faso battling Zephyr Teachout in the 19th Congressional District? What would you do if you were Donald Trump? Is he doing what he should be doing? What would you do if you were Hillary Clinton? What would you do if your best friends sort of really got you into trouble? And that's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is embattled by this corruption scandal connected to the upstate economic development projects, Joe Prococo and Todd Howe and all like that. What would you do? The Democrat has also resurfaced, Democrat Cuomo, has also resurfaced in New Jersey's Bridgegate scandal. Now, I say it to you now, it's your turn. And so, the phones are fallow. There's one person on. We're going to talk to him in a second. That's Mike, but I want you on that phone because I can't do this show without you. All right, Mike, your turn. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to comment on the crooked media, the rigged media. Sure. One of the things I've noticed that whenever Hillary Clinton has been on the defensive, like with the emails, like with the WikiLeaks things, like with the speeches to the big banks,
right,
Donald Trump, instead of keeping his mouth shut and letting her wiggle in the wind with the media focusing on her, he has to step on the message and draw the attention back to him by making some kind of outlandish statement. And when he does that, the media goes back to focusing on the outlandish things he says and takes the attention off of her. And now he has a way to, he complains about it. The most recent example was Saturday, his so-called Gettysburg Address, which when you got past the attacks on the women who have accused him of unwanted touching, he had some good ideas like an amendment for term limits, like limiting when 5 years when people in the administration could go out and lobby. He makes the statement about these women, and bingo, the media focuses on that and destroys whatever decent ideas he might have.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I was taken with the idea of the term limits, too. I've always been for term limits. I think from a political science point of view, all my colleagues disagree with me. But I think, you know, these people have taken such advantage of incumbency that it goes without saying. You probably ought to have something. And I think you're right. He really has stepped on himself. I think that's a problem. Hey, Mike, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay. And now we'll go from Mike to Michael in Schenectady. All right, Michael in Schenectady, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call on. I appreciate it.
Sure.
If I was Trump, I would really focus on the health care insurance increases that everyone is going to be experiencing this year.
He's been doing it all day, and he has. And Michael, he's been doing that all day long. You're right. That's what he's doing.
Well, absolutely. I think the interesting thing about that is that if you think about most Americans and the average medium income of an American household,
yep,
and how much its insurance costs will take out of their pocket,
exactly,
it's not being covered. It is huge to think about a 5% increase in someone's cost on a year-to-year basis, and it's not being covered with a wrapping. Let's not forget about the amount the employer picks up. You know, on average, you're looking at $4,500 per American household. The employer is picking up $16,000 per employee. This is probably unsustainable. I don't see how a small business that employs 5 or 6 or 10 people,
yeah,
could sustain that huge of an increase without letting some people go. The jobs killer, it's finally been exposed for what it is, and it needs to be reported by both sides, including
well, you know, my feeling about this is, and I've said it before, there should be universal health care, just like there is with my health care, which is paid for by the government. So what happens is you exclude the insurance companies, and it's a great idea. But as long as the insurance companies are taking these obscene profits, that ain't going to happen. So I'm for universal health care.
But that's not where the increase is coming from. The increase is coming from the added people that have been put on the dole that we're covering their insurance costs. We got to have a frank conversation about where that cost comes
from. Yeah.
It's not going into the profit of those insurance companies.
Yeah.
It's going to pay for the millions and millions of people,
yep,
who don't work, who don't contribute, who are just adding to our cost of living.
Okay.
And unless we confront that issue for what it is, we are blowing smoke.
Okay, but I don't agree with you, but I'm really glad you called, because it is a different opinion than mine. I appreciate it. Okay, let's go to EJ in Chester. Okay, EJ, you should be on. Are you?
Hello, Alan. Yes, I'm on.
Good.
You know, we're going to have a new Senate and a new House of Representatives.
We are.
And I really am disgusted about hearing those folks from across the aisle. So to get together and know one another a little bit better and understand some of the things that could be worked out, I would believe that we should have all our senators and representatives sit in alphabetical order.
Well, that's an interesting idea. I don't know that it would solve the problem, but I thought you were going to go in a different direction, EJ, and that is that Hillary is spending... Now, look, she's been campaigning to be president, but now she's beginning with some sense of confidence to pay attention to what her presidency would look like. And if she has both houses of Congress against her, so she's spending a lot of time doing that, and as is Obama, to make sure, by the way, 6 seats are up for grabs, 6 major opportunities for the Democrats, and that would put them in control. And the toughest one of all of them is Pennsylvania. But even that's getting close. If she can deliver that, it'll be a whole different ballgame.
Well, you know, all of that is if, Alan.
It is indeed.
With my feeling is that there is going to be a new Senate and a new House of Representatives, and if they sat alongside of somebody else that they didn't quite agree with, maybe in conversation to get to know one another better, they could find some common ground and compromise.
Anything is possible. EJ, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right. And now we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to talk to Jack and Pete and Eric and Bob.
Support for WAMC comes from Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring a variety of mums, fall decorations, and bulbs, including organic garlic bulbs for spring, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, Sundays, 9 to 4, a gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. Stammel String Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie, providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows, restorations, and appraisals, open Tuesday through Saturday, stammelstring.com. Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades, shannonrose.com. And J. Rich Clothing, Northampton, Massachusetts, contemporary menswear by Theory, Bugatti, Hartford, Robert Graham and Hudson, Main Street, Northampton, jrichclothing.com and Instagram.
And we are back, thanks to Zach the engineer. He's at the controls, and, you know, there's nobody better at it than he is. Okay, so we're back, and we're talking with a lot of people about what would you do if you were them? What would you do if you were Donald Trump? What would you do if you were Hillary Clinton? And so for that, we're going to go to Eric in Albany. All right, Eric in Albany, you're on.
Hey, Alan. I'm going to start off by making two kind of rare statements. Number one, I'm not a political expert, and I'm not going to extrapolate on what I do know. And number two, I don't really think that there's a lot to say in regard to the local race, Zephyr Teach Out, other than the fact that there has been a lot of PAC involvement on her part. Not on her part, against her by her opponent. It's interesting because you don't really see a lot of individual talk by FASO. I think it would be important for the population to remember that when you're not speaking for yourself, you're not necessarily getting your own point across. You're relying on other people to do it, and who's paying for it in the end. That little 30 microsecond burst of information,
yep,
this ad's paid for by such and such, is probably the most important piece of information in that ad. So I would encourage all of my fellow voters in the congressional district to listen to that in particular.
Okay, so so do I take it that this is an anti-Zephyr comment?
No, this is an anti-PAC comment.
Okay.
I'm not going to voice a political opinion one way or the other on that.
Okay, great. Well, of course you're right, and of course it goes without saying that since this is one of the few fair fights for Congress, you know what I mean by fair fights. I mean, everybody's got a chance. Everybody's got a chance. And that's because a federal judge put that district together, those lines together. So instead of them...
Right.
Instead of them doing the nonsense of gerrymandering so that only they can win, this is a fair fight district. And as a result, the congressional campaign committees, but particularly the Democrats this time, because they have a lot, are putting a ton of money into this race.
Yes, I have seen that as well. Right. I'm just speaking more from the point of what you'll see on social media, what you'll see on daytime television.
Right.
You see a lot of these very kind of snarky ads targeting Zephyr Teach Out, which really encompass a 5-second blurb, not even 2-second blurb, maybe even 3 words.
You know why they're snarky, right? You know why they're snarky, right? Because they work.
Of course.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Eric, there are a lot of people behind you. I thank you for your call. You make a lot of sense. Appreciate it. Okay.
Okay. You're welcome, bud.
All right. And let's go to Jack in Worthington. Okay. Jack in Worthington, you're on.
Yeah. Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I just wanted to bring up a couple of points because you don't seem to be getting too deep into it. We had a comment. You had somebody call, talk about the vast increase in insurance costs under Obamacare.
Sure.
But to go on, if you listen to the news broadcast, 85% of the people under the program, their subsidies will increase,
yes,
and there will
true.
Be no increase for them.
And in fact, that point was made by the New York Times this morning.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting that the media tends to take the increase side, but not the subsidy side.
Right. And, you know, the other point, too, I wanted to bring up, talking about the media, seems to be that we start off with the negative, and then they don't give a really good explanation. And we've got an awful lot of people on the other side that are, you know, really fast soundbite people, and they don't listen to the rest of the information. They just came on with a statement that 43% of the American population does not trust the election process. And then they went on to clarify that happens to be an average between the 40% of the Republicans that don't trust it and the 76% of Democrats who do trust it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's just a fallacious statement.
Well, you heard the last caller who said that what bothered him were all the people, quote, on the dole. But, you know, we're an industrial society. We're the only ones without a decent health care program. Obama's come along and put a lot of people on who might not have jobs, but who deserve health care. All citizens deserve health care.
The other point, just quickly, is the statement that the people are on the dole and everybody doesn't work for a living and all the rest of this has been debunked for the last 50 years. It's been a Republican rant, just like insurance, just like Social Security, just like Medicare.
Sure.
And the other thing is that the 19 states who have refused to pick up on Medicare and extend the Medicaid programs are the responsibility for anything that has not worked out for this program.
Yep.
Because they actually stymied most of the progress that they could have been made had we had a little bit better control over what was going on.
Yep. Jack, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. All right. And now we're going to go to Bob. All right, Bob, you're on.
Hi, Alan, and thank you very much for taking this call.
Sure.
My main point, I think, has to do with the national part of the ticket. And from my perspective, I don't think it's so much a question of Hillary winning this election as Trump losing it or conceding it by his behavior. And, you know, I just feel that there were a lot of issues that could have been and should have been the focus of the campaign that weren't. And so as a result, the election has gotten lost in everybody insulting everybody else. And Trump, of course, with his misogyny and out-and-out racism, I think has poisoned the air for him. And I don't think realistically he has a chance of getting in. But on the other hand, I see an awful lot of issues that are not being addressed in this election that are very serious issues.
Well, the only reason that they would be addressed, Bob, of course, you and I both know this, and so does everybody else, is if people were paying attention and wanted to hear that stuff. They don't. You know what? They love hearing Trump make a jerk of himself or say these kinds of things. And the media knows it. And if you're a news director at CNN or one of those places, and you have a choice between somebody who's going to come on and give you the ins and outs of, you know, Medicare or Medicaid, or hearing Trump pop off the way that he does, you know who you're going to get.
Yeah.
It's our fault.
Right. I think I concede that, but you know, it was interesting that I actually did a little bit of fact-checking myself as a result of a comment that he had made relative to the trade deficit. And it's interesting, if you look in an almanac, that we have been running trade deficits since about 1980. Mm-hmm. And it's been nonstop, and it is a phenomenal amount at this point. I mean, it is up in the hundreds of billions of dollars. He quoted a figure of $800 billion. I didn't see the latest, but routinely through the 2010 and beyond era, we were running $500 to $600 billion per year. So, and you talk about job loss, and nobody's talking about that. You talk about
you're wrong. You're wrong.
What?
You're just plain. You're just plain wrong. I mean, Trump's talking. Wait a second. Trump's talking about job loss all the time, everywhere he goes. Wait a second. Did you or did you not say no one is talking about job loss? You did.
Well, okay. I did, yes, to a certain extent, but I don't think it's been the focus. But it's substantial in the sense that, you know, the factories are not as common as they used to be. You're driving by brown zones all the way through from here to the Midwest.
Okay, you got to get, because Bob, there are a lot of people behind you. You got to get to the bottom line. The bottom line of your statement is.
Well, bottom line of the statement is, I think that Donald Trump has shot himself in the foot or shot himself in the head in this election, and that I think had he stuck to the issues, things might be very different.
Yep.
And but
no, you're right.
The type of person he is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right on all counts. Thank you very much, Bob. Right.
Yep.
Okay. And now we're going to go to Pete, who has been loyally waiting by. Okay, Pete, you're on.
Yes, Alan. Thank you. I'm going to try and respond to your question. What would I do if I was one of these folks running for office?
Great.
And I would put myself in the position of Jill Stein, and what I would do is call for immediate go to single-payer health care, which all the developed countries in the world have. It costs them less than half of what we're paying now.
Right.
It wouldn't cost us anything more. It's much more efficient rather than the plan that we have now, which was basically derived from a Heritage Foundation plan and it turned into round care. And it's wasteful paperwork for the doctors, for people, and the profit is being taken out of it. So I go for the other parts of our plan, which included the creating 20 million jobs and new Green Deal to really transition to 100% renewables very rapidly. I call for the end of all the oil wars and cut the military spending by 50%.
Okay, so my question to you, whoa. So my question to you, Pete, is, and I, of course, interviewed her before these very microphones for an hour and heard all of what you're talking about. So the question is, how come only 2% of America is going to vote for her?
Because if you look at the number of hours that the media has covered on her, it's probably 1 or 2%. I'm it's great that you did a full interview with her, and occasionally other places do full interviews, but most of it's just like 10 seconds. I mean, she was excluded from the debates. The League of Women Voters would have allowed her in the debates, her and Johnson, but because the Democrats and Republicans control the debate commission, they excluded her. If people looked her up and found out what she was proposing, either Hillary would have to adopt it or people would vote for her. It just makes sense.
I appreciate your call, Pete. Thanks a lot. Okay, now I'm looking on the screen here. Oh, yeah, Abigail is going next. Abigail, you're on.
Hello, Alan, and thank you so much for taking my call and for heading this discussion. It is most admirable. I haven't made a contribution yet, and I will. I'll be sending a check soon. I certainly appreciate WAMC very, very much. I would like to be Hillary, and I will tell the truth that what we have to do is very, very difficult. It's a lot of work. I am taking the job because I think I can do it, and that is to make better health care, to make more equitable. I think that she is going to make a wonderful president, and I'd love to see that.
Well, you know, one thing. Wait. One thing I got to tell you. She better. she better do it fast, because they're not going to hold the Senate. They're not going to hold the Senate. You know, they got 26 Democratic senators up and, you know, 5 Republicans in 2 years. So whatever has to get done.
I know what you're saying. No, actually, I don't know what you're saying. And I so enjoy that, and I want to be involved as possible. And I just want her to tell the truth as she keeps going and telling the people that, look, we all have to work together, which is what she's saying. Whatever his name is, which I think it's Rump, is full of whatever. And I just wish people would not vote against their interest.
Okay.
And anyway, I thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Okay, so 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, and we now go to Katie. All right, Katie, you're on. You're on, Katie.
Yes. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I would love to talk more and more about Trump and not having any of the coverage on upcoming trial on his on the alleged assault on a 13-year-old, blah, blah, blah. But what I would like to focus on right now is this criticism about the increase in the Obamacare. And I do believe that there's a lot of tweaking needed. I think it's, the program wasn't fully developed. However, in my experience, and what I think a lot of people forget, is that somebody like me who has a child who was born with a terminal illness and has, thank God, has done very well for the last, 13 years, the insurance premiums I started paying were astronomical. And I'm a middle-income person, but the insurance premiums for non-pre-existing health conditions were $1,200, and then they had increased to $1,400 a month. And that was just for general checkups. Under Obamacare, we've been able to have those pre-existing conditions covered. So instead of paying $65,000 out of my pocket to get her the medical care that she needs, we have had the relief of having those conditions covered.
And so Katie, you work for a living, right?
I work for a living. I work really hard for a living. I'm a single parent.
Exactly.
And, I've been fortunate enough to make a living that I can get by on. But with the medical, with a $60,000 hospital bill, I was not making it at all.
Katie?
Just not living at all.
Katie, you made a lot of important points. We appreciate it very much. Okay, so now that brings us to Robert in Cohoes. Robert in Cohoes, you're on.
Hi. I kind of hesitate to say this because I'm not a supporter of Trump, but were I Donald Trump, I would focus on the plan that he just announced the other day of his first 100 days, where he puts forward some very specific things that might resonate with a lot of voters. If he could be disciplined and just focus on that plan and not talk about anything else, I think he'd have a shot still.
Okay, fair enough. Appreciate that. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Lots of free phones now. We'll go to, we'll go to Howard. Let's go. Howard, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, Howard. You're on.
How are you today? Okay. I have, I'd like to tell you, if I was Zephyr T-Chat, what I'd say.
What would you say?
I'd say that Sasso, regardless of how moderate some of his views may seem, and I don't even know how moderate he is, but regardless of how moderate they may seem, once he's elected, he's going to vote straight with the Republican Party. That's destroy Obamacare, make it more difficult for women to get abortions, right down the line, everything. So even though he's trying to be a little moderate because he's in a more moderate district, he's still going to vote straight Republican.
Well, how do you know he'll vote straight Republican? I mean, I'm just trying to be provocative, but I certainly agree with you. He will vote the Republican.
Because most of the Republicans in the past have their party whips them together and they vote pretty much party line.
Absolutely.
Few of them who will stick their neck out to vote against the leadership of the party.
I've been studying this for years, Howard, and one of the reasons I agree with you is that, but with one idea, which is if they're in a very hotly contested district, right,
The
people are split, and therefore, look, Chris Gibson put his hands across the aisle. Also, John Faso is doing the same thing, hands across the aisle. Nevertheless, you're quite right. They're going to vote 9 out of 10 times with the party. But every once in a while, they have to vote their conscience, because otherwise they get kicked out, and the leadership knows it. And so there are two terms in politics. One is you're in the tank or you're off the hook. If you're in the tank means you do what I tell you. And if you're off the hook means, okay, we know you got a problem, we'll let you go, and we don't really need your vote that much.
Right. And I have one comment also.
Please.
A previous caller talked about how very few people these days, especially the Republican side, look beyond the headlines. And with the internet, it's even worse. People see the headline and that becomes the news. I had somebody argue with me about, we're only taking Muslims in from Syria. That's all we're taking in. We're not taking in Christians. So I went and just did a tiny bit of research. With the internet, it's easy to research.
Sure.
First of all, Syria's population is 95-96% Muslim. So in an equal world, we'd be taking 4% Christians and 96% Muslims in. On top of that, the Christians are the better educated. They're pro-Assad. Most of them are technocrats that live in Baghdad.
Yeah, yeah, no,
they're not in Aleppo getting bombed and trying to get into this country.
Okay, but the bottom line,
there's the reason.
The bottom line is, how many people are we taking in who are Christian and how many Muslim? Since you did
most
the research.
Most of them are Muslims because the Christians aren't trying to come here.
Yep. Okay.
They're safe in Assad land.
Howard, you make a point. Thank you very much. That was Howard. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Hitchcock Center for the Environment, Amherst, Massachusetts. Celebrating their new living building, a net zero energy, net zero water teaching center for all ages, tours bi-monthly, hitchcockcenter.org. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts. For over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Interim Healthcare, for 45 years, working to help people age in place. Companion aides and nurses 7 days a week, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. InterimHealthcare.com. Schenectady Symphony Orchestra, announcing Trick or Treat, an October Halloween concert this Sunday at 3 p.m. at Proctor's Main Stage. SchenectadySymphony.org for information. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com.
And we are back. It's Alan, and we're on the Vox Pop, and we're answering the question, what would you do if you were these politicians? What would you be saying? But not everybody is sticking to the script, but that's okay. Let's go to Laura in Woodstock. Okay, Laura, you're on. Laura, well, let's put it this way. You were on, Laura. And then, you know, we could do what we do with our children or grandchildren. We could say, Laura, one. Laura, two. Laura, three. Laura, three and a half. Laura, goodbye. Okay. And now we're going to go to Throckmorton. Okay. Throckmorton, you're on.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you very much for taking my call.
And thanks for hanging in there.
I'm surprised that nobody except Hillary has been speaking about the Zotos plan for America. And the Zotos plan, very simply, is making the sea scallop America's dish instead of the T-bone steak. I will take my commentary from you on the radio. I'm hanging up.
I don't have any commentary on this. You've made the point. That's what we do here. You've made the point. You think scallops are healthier, right? They are healthier.
Well, no. It's all about the sea scallop. You know, Alan,
yeah.
The sea scallop is only offered as an entree on most menus.
Correct.
We're for offering the sea scallop as an appetizer as well.
Good idea. Good idea. I love sea scallops. Thank you, Throckmorton. Right. Bye-bye. Okay, now we're going to go to Angela in Springfield. I love Springfield. It's great to hear from you, Angela.
Hi. So if I were Donald Trump, which thankfully I'm not, I would actually spend some of my billions of dollars, and I would pay my contractors, and I would spend some of my money in these poorer areas where I'm campaigning, and give it where it's needed most, and to some of the veterans that need it, and some of the blue-collar workers' foundations to some of the unions, fund some of the unions. All these people that he's looking to campaign to spend some of these billions of dollars that he's spending instead on gold toilets and gold airplanes.
Okay, thank you for calling. All right, let's go to Bill. Yes, 1-800-348-2551. Bill in Great Barrington. How's downtown Great Barrington today, Bill?
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Always nice to hear your program. I guess my comment is specifically about, you asked about the politicians, and I guess I'm going to focus on Andrew Cuomo, even though I live in Massachusetts.
Fair enough.
I've given him a lot of slack over the years, thinking that he was, you know, a good politician. But if I were him right now, I'd be looking for a rock to crawl under, because I think this whole upstate development thing and now this stuff with SUNY and everything else, I think it's just proven that the corruption within his group, and I won't say the Democratic Party, I don't believe that, but the corruption within his group and his cronies is so deep and it is so pervasive that he doesn't really have a way out of this that I can see. And so I'm very disappointed in him, and I kind of wish there were a way that these politicians, once they're really caught with their hand in the cookie jar, I wish there was a land that they could get a passport to and voluntarily go away and save us the embarrassment of watching them and wondering what to do with them for years afterwards.
Well, nobody said, by the way, there's no question that his best pals have been caught literally in the act. Although they're trying to get away from one of them, Todd Howe, but, you know, he worked for him for years and years in both Washington and here and all the rest of it. So, but he's being very quiet right now, very quiet. Is that what you mean by crawling under a rock?
No, as I said, I think it goes, it's not just Andrew Cuomo, but I'm simply focusing on him right now as one example. I wish, when I say crawling under a rock, I wish there were a way that these politicians, when they are caught so blatantly abusing the system, instead of us having to watch them for the next 10 years as they flail about trying to maintain some credibility. I mean, like, look at Giuliani, for instance. I wish there were just some way that they'd voluntarily understand, okay, I can buy a ticket to Island Fubu off the coast of whatever, and I can just go away and save everybody in America the embarrassment of having me around.
Yeah, well, don't see it that way. Hey, Bill, thank you for the great call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, now we'll go to Vincent in Poughkeepsie. Vincent, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy your show. If I were Hillary Clinton, I would try to adopt what Trump said about term limits. I too, like you, have long been of term limits.
You said
I
can, but there, you cut out. So you said you've long been in favor of term limits, right?
No. I'm a proponent for a long time of term limits.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said.
And
go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. And so if I was Hillary, I would adopt what Trump said about proposing term limits. And certainly it could be done in a way where, let's say, well, there's great minds in Congress and Senate. They could figure it out how to implement it. But it could even be grandfathered where the current term holders, it doesn't pertain to them, but the new incumbents that come into the office, once the law takes effect, is term limits. Now, they could also figure out what is the best term for a senator. What is the best? Is it 4 years? Is it 6 years?
Okay, it's all pie in the sky, and you know it, Vincent. They're not going to do that. These are people who are interested in your own continuance in office. Of course, they're not.
It should not be.
What?
It should not be.
No, wait a second. As I always explain to my students, there's a big difference between should and is. No, you're quite right. It shouldn't be, but it is, and they're not going to change it.
But they say a politician, once he's in office, he spends about two-thirds of his time campaigning for the next election.
I don't think there's any question. So
yeah,
what's your
so
point?
Instead, if he goes in for 6 years, he could just do work for the people. For
Yeah. No, we're not arguing. No,
that's
Vincent, listen up. We're not arguing the merits of what you're espousing. I am just simply saying I know enough about these politicians to know that they're not going to do it, except in New York City, where they had basically initiative and referendum, and people could vote. If you could vote in New York State, for example, you're in Poughkeepsie, if you could vote in New York State for term limits, it would be an overwhelming rout for term limits. You know that, and I know that, but they're never going to give you initiative and referendum in New York State. Now, in Massachusetts, a good state where I live, yet let me tell you right now, we have that power, and we use it.
Yeah, but I think the people in general, our 300 million people and the voters among those people, they want it.
Of course they want it.
They want it.
But,
so if a politician brings it to the forefront, then he or she could run with the ball.
Okay, Vincent. Now, Vincent, you got to listen up here. I got a question for you, and then we got to go because there are a lot of people behind you. Okay, let's assume you now are State Senator Vincent from Poughkeepsie. And all of a sudden, the goo-goos, otherwise known as the good government people, come around and say, let's limit the amount of time Vincent can be in office. Excuse me, I'm going to ask you a question. And this is defined as an honesty question, which means if you lie, a lightning bolt comes out of the sky at you. Okay. So ready? Are you so sure you wouldn't be against that proposition if you were the state senator?
No, I would be for it because I would implement it with grandfathering it. For the senators that come after me, then they have term limits. But I, Vincent, so I could die in office. I could retire. I can go on to bigger and better things. I leave my office vacant. Now the former position of Vincent is vacant. People will campaign for it. Whoever gets it that time, it's term limited.
Did you ever hear of equal protection under the laws?
Yeah.
Well, why would some senators be entitled to more than others?
Well, because this is something that's grandfathered for the people that passed the law.
Not so easy. Vincent, you're a good man.
Well,
You're a good man, and I'm glad you called. Thank you. Okay. Now, let's see here. I'm looking at this newfangled device. Blanche. Okay, Blanche, you're on. Okay, Blanche, don't curse. Go ahead.
I would never curse, Alan. Okay. I love this, man. I want to keep this going. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Well, I was going to respond to what Ann from Woodstock said, but, man, Vince and you just had a really good thing going there, and I think you're right on, man. I just wanted to reiterate that what you said. Why would they ever give up those spots? They'd never. It's great. Just say
they won't even – hey, Blanche, they won't even pass a decent ethics law.
Exactly.
They won't even pass a decent ethics law. They won't take people's pensions away from them who are caught and convicted. It's unbelievable.
Exactly. You're right on, man. You're right on. And imagine, you know, if Supreme Overlord Donald Trump became president, then good Lord, we would be – you think he'd be giving up power? You're out of your mind. Although I know you're not, but pretty much.
No, I may be. I may be. Hey, Blanche, got to let you go. Thank you. I'm trying to get everybody in. Thank you very much. Okay. Now let's go to let's go to Beth in Montgomery. Beth, you're on.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you so much. I still say this. I heard last night that a lot of people like Susan Sarandon and Cornel West are not supporting Hillary. I still think that she needs to have a mea culpa moment, a more humane moment, something more human to make her more palatable. She's not palatable. She's not nice. She's not warm and fuzzy.
Well, but she tries. I mean, I watch her now. She smiles. She waves.
So does the robot.
But what you're calling for is a character transplant. It's not easy to do.
Well, then that's the reason why I'm not voting for her.
You're not voting for her?
As I've told you before, and I understand those people who are not for her are supporting Jill Stein, which isn't a bad idea. She's got some really great ideas, and she sounds like a really nice person.
Well, she sat here. I thought she was a nice person. She's got 1 to 2% of the vote. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Jim in Enfield. All right, Jim in Enfield, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Alan, love your program. I'm calling about the cost of health care and the complaints or comments that have been made about the increases in the Obamacare premiums. prior to Obamacare, my wife's insurance policy, I'm covered by the VA, thankfully, but it's far superior to private practice. My wife's policy was costing us $750 plus per month
with a
$5,000 deductible. Under Obamacare, with the subsidies we get, because I'm a retired person living on Social Security, we are paying $167 per month, and it will be going up to $217 a month. But to be honest with you, it's a big difference between $217 and $800, which is what it would be if we didn't have the subsidies.
But if it were universal health care, you would be paying nothing, although you'd be paying a lot more in taxes, that's for sure.
I don't have a problem with that. I wouldn't even mind if the cost of coverage went up incrementally with the cost of living adjustments in Social Security. But under one of the issues that isn't really being raised and should be looked at is how the insurance companies establish rates for the purposes of insurance in the first place, and who controls that. I worked in the insurance industry for 40 years, and honestly, Alan, I have seen so much fraud on the inside of the insurance companies. Developing rates under programs that nobody in government seems to understand, and the rate factors that they use to develop what it costs are bogus in a lot of cases.
Okay, I thank you for that. I want to get everybody in. Thanks for calling, Jim. All right, now let's go to, let's see here, Kevin in Delhi, and I'll push that button. Kevin, you're on.
Hello, Alan?
Yes.
Yes, this is Kevin. Thank you. I want to make a comment. I think what we're facing now is rapid change, and the change is so rapid. I think that most people have a hard time dealing with it, and it turns into fear. It turns into blaming. It also turns into new visions like Bernie brought forward. And I think it's really important that people. In a democracy, the citizenry really spend time trying to analyze the problem, understand the problem, rather than point fingers at the other, blaming people. As an example.
Okay, listen, I'm sorry to cut you short, but you got to get to the bottom line because we're almost out of time. Go ahead. Bottom line is
we need leaders out there who can articulate the changes we're going through as a society and can not demonize, but actually work to the positive to try to come up with solutions, bringing disparate people together.
Wouldn't that be great? Thank you very much for that call. I'm sorry. We left Richard on the line and Chris on the line and Evan on the line and Larry on the line, and they're not going to have their chances, but I am apologetic, and I really want to thank them for calling in. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Lake George Land Conservancy. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting the land that protects the lake, offering more than 32 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration. Hike LakeGeorge.org. And Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed, panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly, passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net, and Hudson Wine Merchants. Hudson Wine Merchants in Hudson, New York, offering selections for holiday meals, gifts, and everyday wines. Curbside service and delivery available. Raise your glass. HudsonWines.com. Union College Concert Series. Union College Concert Series presenting German pianist Christian Zacharias performing works of Schubert, Beethoven, and Schumann after his Carnegie Hall appearance Sunday, October 30th, 3 p.m. UnionCollegeConcerts.org. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for some theme and our news update.